If there's one thing we've learned about business and life, it's that people are the X factor. They constantly surprise us, both in amazing ways and not so much. We're Ben and Sia, and welcome to the Gnaw on This Business Bites podcast. This show is all about real life things we all deal with every day, how they relate to business, and how to make some sense out of our daily chaos. Welcome to the show. And welcome back to another episode of Gnaw on This Business Bites. I've got something for each and every one of you. Lean in, listen up. This is important. You can only control how you react. People are going to act how they're going to act. They're going to do what they're going to do. They're going to say what they're going to say. You cannot control any of that. You can't control what comes out of people's mouths, what kind of tomfoolery they act upon, or what kind of ideas or maliciousness they create in the world. All you can do is control how you react. And that is really difficult for everybody, myself included. We all have trouble to sit there and say, well, they shouldn't be doing this. But they are. And they have. And they did. And we can't control any of it. All we can do is control what we do next. Sia, let's gnaw on this.
Did you hear the words coming out of my mouth? I think that's like one of my favorite quotes for us. I think I've heard said it like 20% of our shows.
At least 50 times.
Yeah,
at least.
I know. You know, okay, so I am an excitable personality. So perhaps my response to this is probably overly dramatic because I am a dramatic person. So I get it, you guys. I'm goofy. I get it. But when it comes to very serious things, I can become very still. And a still Sia is probably not that wisest person to be around at that point, because God knows what's going to come out of my mouth. But I think over time, as you mature, did I say the M word with me?
Don't do it. Don't be mature.
Yeah. Reverse, edit. So Ben, as one experiences more things in life.
There we go.
Perhaps.
Or matures.
Perhaps we gain wisdom. Is it wisdom? Or maybe we have such memories, etched in stone memories, that, you know, we may want to not relive those particular scenarios again based on the reaction of how you responded to, right? Call that maturity, call that wisdom, call it what you will. But I've learned that I believe you should firmly respect your emotions when you're in that high volatile red zone moment. Mm-hmm. I think you should respect and acknowledge that you're in that red zone. Now, how you get out of that red zone is really the billion-dollar questions that I think a lot of gurus, a lot of life coaches, a lot of self-help books try to solve for others, which is, how do you respond? Like you said. So one of the things I would like to ask you is, for me, I've learned over time to just stop and breathe. You're screaming, your head's screaming on the inside, but doing nothing in those immediate moments, especially if you're in a verbal altercation with someone, I feel like helps de-escalate everyone mutually. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, when I'm really pushing up against the wall, one of two things are going to happen. I'm either going to react or I'm going to go deadly silent and deep. And I think most people would prefer that I blow than I go silent. Because when I go silent, people know they've really, 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 you know, pissed me off.
They done messed up Aaron.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I blow. And, you know, I will fully admit I'm not a perfect person. I have a very long fuse and a very short temper. And when my boiling point has been reached, I tend to sit there and say enough is enough, and I can either be cutting and mean about it, or I can be, loud about it, but it's usually over in a matter of 30 seconds. And in 30 seconds, I've apologized. I've done, I've sit there and say, okay, how do we move forward beyond this? And I don't tend to let it linger, and I don't tend to let it, get beyond the moment. And people around me tend to know this about me, is that, if I've yelled, it's just the fact that I've gotten to that point where you've said the same thing 37 times and you haven't listened to me. And probably that's, me just acting and reacting out. And is it excusable? No. Is it the right thing to do? No. But there are times in my life where that's reality. I keep it to absolutely the minimal I can. And the truth of the matter is, it very rarely ever happens in business. I don't think it's, almost never happens in business. In business, I'll just go quiet.
So funny. I think it's funny that you do that. I'm kind of a little bit opposite. If it like has something to do with me emotionally, I shut down, and that could be more like traumatic stuff that, Sia hasn't resolved yet in her personal life. But business, if maybe because I it's not so intimate, it's not in my Sia inner circle of pain, that I actually don't mind going off. Because I'm usually, if I'm yelling, it's usually situational. It's never at a person. It's at the situation of like, why is that individual and me in this situation kind of vibe? Not so much I'm mad at that person. Because I know I'm so far from perfect that for me to expect any level of perfection from anybody is really unreasonable, right?
And don't get me wrong, 99% of the time it's situational, it's not person.
Right.
Yeah,
Nah,
either
I don't
way.
know. When it comes to the personal life, I don't know. It might be personal. But anyway, yeah, I
Well,
think.
there are people in this world that drive me crazy, and I'm related to them. So no, you're not. I'm not related to you. So
You're stuck with me. Wait, I thought you're my brother from another mother.
you know what? You are my younger sister, and you will always be my younger sister. But that's a different story altogether.
Okay, so here's me. Let me bring it back in because my ego's been satiated. Thank you, sir. I find frustration point for me is when in business, maybe life too, if you are, you see people in your team that are challenged with something and they're just not moving the ball forward for whatever reason, and you're just like, dude, ask for help or communicate and let us know where you're stuck at, so you can see them struggling. But the thing is, you can only throw out that, life buoy, lifesaver so many times before you're like, dude, I'm not freaking towing your boat for you. You gotta row, So how do you manage that? Because
I
I
gave
think,
you an oar. Why aren't you rowing?
right, or they're holding the oar and in the air going, life sucks, and I can't finish this project. And you're like, you gotta finish it. There's not an option. It's gotta get done. So how do you manage that? Because I think we have teams that we all experience this.
I think for me, I'm very good at very early on in relationships talking about expectations and accountability. And my attitude is, as I start relationships, and I reiterate this through whether this is somebody I'm leading, whether this is a peer, whether it's, whether I'm leading up. This is what I expect from you, and this is what you can expect from me. And I also sit there and say, if there's a problem, come to me with two solutions and we'll talk about it. I am one of these people. If there's a problem, come to me with two solutions. I may not like either one of them, but at least you've taken the time and you've made the effort to sit there and say, huh, maybe I better deal with this. The other thing I tell people is never lie to me. If there's a problem, let me know. Let me know early enough that I can actually do something about that, so I'm not going to end up with egg on my face and I can't protect you. Because If I can't protect you, I'm not doing my job as a leader. And if I know early and often enough, we can come up with a solution, we can fix this, and we can find a way around this. It may not be, optimal. It may not be the best. It may not be, something that's not going to cost us some time or money, but at least we can come up with a solution that's going to be palatable for everybody. But I find that when I have those conversations early and often with people, it helps managing people through that analysis paralysis a lot easier because they understand this is, look, we've been talking about this project for 6 weeks now. You've always known that the deadline is this. We've talked about it four times. I said, do you need any help? Do you need anything from me? Do you need anything from anybody else? Do you have all the tools to do this? Da, 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 da. At the end of 6 weeks, if the project's not done, there is no excuse. And you're accountable. If you come up to me, 4 weeks ahead of time and say, look, I'm struggling. I don't know what to do. I can't figure this out. I says, okay, let's sit down and let's figure it out together. Or you may not be the right person for this particular project. That's fine. We'll swap you out with somebody else, or we'll get you some help or whatever. But if you come to me at the last minute, and after we've gone through this entire exercise, after I've communicated with you, you've communicated with me, and then all of a sudden the thing blows up at the 11th hour because you weren't prepared, guess what? There is going to be ramifications. And it may not be me yelling. It may not be more than anything, it's just like, you know what? I'm extremely disappointed in you. You let yourself down. You let me down. You let the team down. You let the customer down. You need to go around and you need to apologize to people and you need to make it right. And if you can't do that, you need to find somewhere else. And I think that communication and expectations and accountability are what make things a lot easier to be able to manage through crisis and manage through process.
I think you've nailed it on the head. There's no shame when you're communicating to say, I don't know.
Right. I don't
I
know it
need
a lot of
help.
time.
Because I can't tell you, you just triggered a thought, and this happened 20 plus odd years ago, where I had a direct report, and there was some campaign we had to do or something to that effect, but it was on a new platform that we were using and upgrading to. I mean, actually, at that time, it was hell on earth, and I want to kill myself for it. Oh, I don't want to say that. Shh, don't kill yourself over it. But I did want to choke whoever programmed it. Siebel. So. There was just one person who I guess I see it in their eyes. Like there is just nods, taking notes, but there is, you can just see there's nothing going on behind those eyes, right? And I sensed it. And I just, reiterated and said over and over again, hey, do you have any questions? Do you have any questions? And nope, they're all good. So the team walks off. And I'm not a micromanager. I really am not a micromanager. But if there's some task that needs to be done, I'm particular as far as if this is what they said they want to do, dot, what is it, color the roses are red or whatever, whatever, right? Like, I'm not the
Cross the
queen of
T's
hearts,
and dot
damn
the
it, but if the
I's.
instruction was to paint those damn roses red, paint those damn roses red, right? It wasn't until about like, I think it was like 2, 3 weeks later. So my director came back to me, goes, hey, I'm compiling the reports, want to make sure everyone's kosher, everything's updated. And I said, should be. I've done weekly emails to say, like, hey guys, don't need to reply back, just a friendly reminder. Make sure you go into the system, update whatever you did over the week. There are some who did it daily, some people do end of the week kind of thing, right? Everyone except that one person, deer in headlights person, did what they were supposed to do. And it came back on me. And my boss was like, why is this individual not doing their thing? And I was like, well, I have encouraged them every week. Well, I've always said, if you don't know, let me know. So I got yelled at because they didn't perform. because it was my responsibility to get the numbers in. So then I walked over and I, you know, sat down with him. I'm like, hey, dude, everyone was talking about getting this damn thing done. Why didn't you do it? And they're like, I don't know how to do this. I didn't get it. And I'm like,
they would be fired right then and there. And I don't mean to be mean. I don't mean to be cruel. And we do need to land this plane. But to me, if you can't speak up, if you can't ask for help, if you can't admit that there are things that you just don't know, you shouldn't be on the project, because nobody is expecting everybody to be perfect. I'm looking for curious people. I'm looking for people that are adaptable, creative, and resilient. And I'm looking for people that are communicative. And sometimes that communicative is, I need help. I have tried this, this, and this. None of these things have worked. I've run out of ideas.
And there's nothing wrong with that. To say I've run out of ideas.
We've all been there. We have all been there. And I think that we have a generation that's up behind us, and we seriously need to land this plane. But we have a generation that have come up behind us that are afraid of conflict. They are afraid of not looking smart, and they're afraid of ramifications of things that probably will never happen. And I think we as leaders need to lead those people and set expectations and communication, and that's a challenge.
Okay, look, I know we need to land this plane. I know everyone, we're wrapping up, but I know there's people with ideas and all this.
Absolutely.
There are definitely ways I think I could have improved the open door policy. Though in my brain, I feel like I'm an open door person, but I also know because I am, you know, exacting at times, it can be intimidating, right? So it was a good lesson for me, though, is they were insecure in themselves, right? And that's something as a leader to also recognize, is to almost like pull it out and be like, okay, let's maybe approach it differently, you know, or hey, let me sit down with you and let's just do one entry real quick and just make sure you're kosher. Right. I didn't do any of that. I just assumed, you know, hey, we all sat through that training together. We're adults, that you would speak up, but some brains don't work that way. People, some people's life experiences are different. So how you respond to things is a lot to do. I think to summarize and land this real big ass boat we're not landing is, we understand everyone has their past family traumas, histories, because we know we have family trauma. But I do think in a business perspective, I think we need to stop, focus, and really, truly analyze how to respond. Like I had mentioned earlier, right? Stop. Because doing nothing is a response. But in business, it could be fatal for your career.
Yes, it can.
So that's it for me.
So let's leave it there. Let's make sure that none of our business, dealings are fatal. I'm Ben.
And I'm Sia.
And we'll see you soon.
Hey, hey, hey. Thanks for listening to another episode of Not On This, Business Bites. If you liked what you heard, we most humbly ask that you like, share, and hit that subscribe button. If you want to communicate more effectively within your organization, contact Ben@IamBenBaker.com or me at BrilliantBeeMedia.com. We can help you build your community, brand awareness, and personality through digital content and podcasting. We cannot wait to hear from you. See you next week for another episode of Not On This, Business Bites.